This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning! Happy Thursday to you, the first day of spring.
No.
I'm going bare arms.
That's because everything else is dirty, probably.
Well, maybe?
Maybe not.
I'm not dirty.
We were all single at one time, John.
So. Not dirty. Incredibly unironed.
All right.
Incredibly.
Well, when you
when they have that crepe paper, crinkly paper, you couldn't make it crinklier than I can make my clothes.
When they come out of the dryer, hang them up.
I know.
Then you just throw them back into a ball in the basket and let them there until you need it. And then that's just a theory, but I think I'm onto something.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay.
You're correct. you know me too well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But short sleeves today it's going to be 50 today. So it's kind of okay, but.
Yeah.
It's not the truth. So yeah. Anyway, all right.
I think I'm going to go for lunch with some of my buddies. I think I might go grab a hoodie.
Yeah.
Close semi-hoodie. Because when I was walking out, it's still cold. It is 24 degrees. I was just expecting it to be like 45.
Yeah.
It is 24 in Green Bay, 25 in Appleton, 23 in Oshkosh. But it is supposed to get to 52 today.
Yeah.
Which is going to be sensational.
Yeah.
Just outstanding. Today is Peace and Nonviolence Day. That should be like every day, shouldn't it?
Right.
I mean, my God, I live every day that way.
Yeah.
Draw a dinosaur day.
Draw a dinosaur day.
That seems for the kiddos. Pretty easy.
You think so?
The dino.
That's pretty easy. Oh, yeah. I know I couldn't do it, but.
I was just going to say, let's do it, and no. Then we'll see which one does a better job.
But there's not a lot of detail to a dinosaur, right?
I grew up with Dino.
Yeah.
Dino. I grew up with it because my brother owned the Sinclair gas station.
Oh.
So everything we got, we had every Dino thing. We had these I don't know how I didn't die from this. They had these inflatable, is it Dino or Dino? I always get it mixed up.
It was Dino Stop, right?
Yeah, Dino Stop.
But it's dinosaur.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Dino was the guy in Flintstones, right? He was the doggy on Flintstones.
Oh,
Dino.
Okay. That's right. Okay.
No, but the Dino, at the Dino Stop, they had that draft. They had that dinosaur in front of it.
Still got it.
I don't remember somebody took that one time.
Did they? No, I didn't know that. Oh, really?
That's quite
how
the
did
heist.
They take that?
Right, I know.
Well, that's like I think it was Marquette or was it Wisconsin? Somebody stole the big boy.
Oh yeah, see that'd be another.
That's
one.
Quite a challenge.
You win.
Yeah, you get that one.
You get some cred if you bring that back to the dorm room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, you guys.
Yeah.
Back to the frat house.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's instant street.
Well, our friend that runs the vintage store over in De Pere, right next to the Abbey, she said they've had Sasquatch stolen a few times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has that, though.
But she said some St. Norbert kids would take it, and then it would just keep it for the weekend for a party. Then they'd bring it back Monday morning.
Okay, I don't know if they're doing – that's something we did, too, though.
Did you?
Yeah, not that thing. A couple other things.
But. You were a little bit.
Yeah.
Actually, I wasn't.
Come fly with me. Come high. Let's get so high.
No, I was. I was an RA.
Oh, you were.
Yeah, I was. So you guys couldn't smoke weed. Can't have girls over after that kind of.
So you were the narc.
I was.
You were that guy.
Well, I really wasn't the narc. I was the enforcer.
Wow.
Somebody else would narc him out.
Wow.
Yeah, but I just remember a couple instances like. The Red Owl?
Sure.
That metal sign?
Yeah.
That was in our dorm.
You know,
I'm like, you guys, that's got to go back.
It's funny you'd mention that. I want to stop. I grew up with Red Owl in downtown Nagani, okay?
Yeah.
And there's one still surviving over on, is it 9th Street?
Yes.
In Green Bay?
Yeah.
That still survives.
Still there.
That might be the only Red Owl in the country.
I don't know about that, but that's exactly the sign. I think that is the sign.
Okay.
I think that's the sign, but... you know, one of those.
But isn't that great that one of those long-standing American tradition stores, there's at least one.
It's a neighborhood grocery store.
That'd be like there's still a Kmart someplace.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the whole thing was, you know, everything was in the neighborhood. Neighborhood bars, neighborhood grocery stores, and then it just became very,
I know. I don't like it.
Consolidated.
I want to go back to neighborhood bars.
I mean, yeah, that was people's living room.
Right. Absolutely. Well, have you ever been to Rocky Blyer's bar? Rocky Blyer's dad's bar?
No.
Oh, my gosh. It's right across from the courthouse in Appleton.
Okay.
Right downtown. I mean, here's Rocky. Unbelievable. One of the greatest athletes ever. Maybe the greatest athlete ever to come out of the state of Wisconsin. I mean, All-State in three sports.
Yeah.
You know, first team All-State for like 3 years in a row in three sports. That's unheard of. Okay. He had no yard.
Yeah.
There's like no yard.
Right.
There's the bar on the corner and a little something where maybe there's a picnic table or something. But there's no yard.
Yeah.
You know, you'd think he would have grown up in this area. Oh, I grew up on a farm and I used to run the fields and dodge the corn stalks.
Yeah. Well, they probably had a park pretty close to that, though.
No. It's right downtown. Yeah. So anyway, I mean, he grew up upstairs of a bar and he made it.
Yeah, he did.
He made it.
Sure did.
Thought of you guys over the weekend. I was doing the YouTube scrolling and stuff like that, and there was a Rocky Blyer and Mean Joe Green Swanson frozen dinner commercial.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah. That was so great. Because it was the first when the Hungry Man's first came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those guys, yeah.
How do you handle the Hungry Man? The man handler. Wow. I lived on those when I was in college.
Yeah.
I lived on Salisbury steak, Hungry Man, in college.
Yeah, that's
why you have a reformed palate now.
Right? Yes.
A very refined palate.
That's why everything else tastes good now. Christian Bale is 51 years old. He was in a couple of great movies. I mean, great movies. Empire of the Sun, when he was like 12 years old, was his start. He played the part of a boxer, true story. Can't think of his name. And he was the boxer in that. He was great. Just one of those guys. Every character against it, he really. And for that one, it was weird because he had to lose like 80 pounds.
The Fighter, right?
The Fighter. Yeah. The Fighter. Yeah. Great movie.
Really skinny.
Ooh. Really skinny. Because then he had to play a meth guy and he went to prison. And it's totally based on a true story of a professional boxer. Great story. I like him a lot.
Is he still working?
Oh, yeah. He's only 51. Phil Collins, 74. Never a Phil Collins fan.
Oh, my God. Yes. Been to his concerts. We got all his back then CDs. It's my wife's favorite performer, Phil Collins.
A little too mellow for me.
No, that two hearts. She's all this. Actually, excuse me.
You got a cold or something.
I do.
I do.
Mino slides away.
No, she really likes it. He puts on a good show now. He's sick now, but MS or something is taking over him.
Oh,
but
I didn't know that.
Unbelievable drummer.
Oh, I know that. I know. Just a little
and
too.
He comes out after.
A little too this for me.
I don't know, man.
A little too. Yeah. No.
I just would say he puts on a good show. Yeah. But a lot of them do, right? But yeah. Crowd goes crazy. Yeah,
other than this, what songs did he have that were good?
Oh, I think
because that was a good song.
Two Hearts was probably his biggest.
Two Hearts was big.
That was probably his biggest.
Okay,
song, I think.
No Reply at All when he was with Genesis. A lot of good Genesis songs.
He did. Yeah. Anyway, my wife really, really likes him.
All right, Vanessa Redgrave is 88. Gene Hackman 95.
You know, those guys are getting that whole group right. We always, you know. There's a lot of people who are 90.
Yeah, Alan Alda, Gene Hackman, those. Yeah.
Tom Selleck, 80 years old.
Right, wow. You read those all the time. It's like, wow.
How does he stay so young looking?
Yeah. I know. He looks the same as he did on Magnum.
I know.
He really does.
Hate him.
He really does. Yeah. Well, like I said, I was looking at that picture for me at the Super Bowl in 97. I look the same.
Totally.
Exactly. Baby face. Uh-huh. Gene Hackman, it's funny. I was reading an article about that. There's a shot where he's sitting with Dennis Hopper. And it's used in the movie where they're sitting on the bench. He's talking to Dennis Hopper like they're talking strategy. It's kind of a wide shot with things going on around it and everything like that. And in real life, he's saying to Dennis Hopper, "This is the end of my effing career. This is the worst effing movie. I've never been so embarrassed. I swear, I'm moving to like Europe for 5 years so people will forget this bleep bleep movie. Worst movie ever." And they think he's talking strategy. And he's telling Dennis Hopper what a horrible movie they're making.
So funny.
Yeah. Bill Belichick suggests that the NFL should rename the Lombardi Trophy the Tom Brady Trophy because he won 7 Super Bowls. Terry.
What if somebody wins 8?
I know, right? Do you just keep changing it?
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? If Andy Reid doesn't quit coaching, I don't see him stopping.
No.
I mean, seriously, he just keeps it going. No drama, no whatever. He just keeps it going, and the guys play for him, and they want to play for him. And
what a coup, though, for the Packers to get that trophy named after Lombardi. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Lamar Hunt is...
He's the AFC Championship trophy. George Halas is the NFC Championship trophy.
Yeah, just out of those three, that's pretty cool that
right. We
won.
Yeah, and I think it almost, you know, that harkens back a little bit. I think they did that to harken back to some of the real pioneers of the NFL. I mean, Lamar Hunt started basically the AFL.
Right.
I mean, obviously, George Halas was one of the guys at the very first meeting of forming what became the National Football League. And then Lombardi, with what he did, and winning the very first 2 Super Bowls, and he was the first coach in NFL history to win 3 championships in a row.
But he didn't help finance the team, whereas those other two guys did.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right about that. It was somebody else's money.
Maybe they didn't want it to be you can buy a trophy. Maybe they were talking about, hey, look, you guys both put in. It wasn't a lot of money. I mean, today it would be, but maybe they said, look, this Lombardi guy, he's winning. He has no investment in either team. Let's just
that's a good point.
So,
well, I mean, George had the Bears started out as a used car dealership, the Staleys, the Decatur Staleys. Yep, no question.
Right.
Coming up today at 6:34, our veteran spotlight.
Yeah,
good friend of mine. If you ever see my book 50 Strong, right there, he's on the cover. Mm-hmm. He is. Everybody can see anything. He's that guy over there.
Awesome.
On the cover, and you'll love his Upper Finnish accent.
Yeah, I heard it yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to have him on. He's our veteran spotlight. That's brought to you by Olson Legal Group, located in Oshkosh and Berlin. Great, great, great people. Olson Legal Group. We've got Jess Q.
Close enough.
Q.
Q, I believe, yep.
Jeff Q. Great Lakes Communication Manager for Verizon. Talk about the Super Bowl Fan Fest. That's going to be at Lambeau Field. Give us a preview on that one, Ty.
Well, I'll be honest with you. That's something that Jim actually turned me on.
Oh, your guy. Yeah. Oh.
There's going to be Super Bowl parties. It's my understanding. I want to ask him a few questions at all 32, well, I guess it can't be all 30, 31 stadiums. And I don't know if it, I think it's free. I think it's, you're going to watch a game with other people and there's food and... They're just trying to do this in the stadium. So I don't know. Well, this will be interesting. We'll talk to Jeff about it.
Chris Leonard and John Kramer, headlines with the Press Times. Kate Stampton, director and producer of a documentary called The Inner Sea. And, of course, Pat Tracy. Discover Oshkosh. And we want to say thank you once again to all the folks that came out yesterday to the Heights Pub and Parlor for their first anniversary show down there. You folks were great. Heights is great. Back after this.
But I am still alive. I was a sailor.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
They buried me in that gray tomb that knows no sound. But I am still alive.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here. 97.9 FM WGBW downtown Green Bay, 98.3 and 96.5 FM WSS in Appleton and Oshkosh. And, of course, the Civic Media app along with 1590 AM and 1100 AM. So if you're looking for us, there's a way to find us.
That's right.
Up and down the 41 corridor. As I mentioned, we got some great guests coming on today. One other thing we got to mention, and it's always weird doing this sometimes when you're, you know, entertainment show, but... Man, what a horrible tragedy between Wichita and Washington, D.C.
Oh. Yeah, that's sad.
I mean, very, very, very sad.
64 people. And, you know, and at Wichita, then, you know, small community. We know people, and not that they're on there, but it's just, I mean, that's small town. Yeah, stuff,
absolutely.
It's just, they were there training for the Olympics or trying, what I guess is what it would be,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I don't know if they had any survivors on that. That's,
you know,
not looking too good.
There, the said members of the U.S. national figure skating team were on there. And you know, one year, basically the entire team was wiped out. The Olympic team was wiped out in a plane crash. They're going to an event in Europe. 1950s. Like the entire team was going to an event in Europe and the plane crash in like Switzerland or France. and the entire team was wiped out. Yeah. So that's the second time of figure skating. Horrible, horrible, horrible tragedy with something like that.
Did you ever have like a near tragedy on a plane?
In a plane? No.
Well, I've had two.
Have you?
Yeah.
Really?
One was on American when they had the prop planes out of here to Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one of the propellers stopped.
Why? In flight?
Yeah.
Obviously.
What starts going through your mind?
It gets slower and slower. Well, the bishop was on the plane. But he did point out. I remember him pointing out, and it just stopped. We hadn't, and when you landed, all the trucks and ambulances were there, and then we just get off, and you just go on. So they fly with one. Scarier than that, though, what stuff go through where I started texting. We were coming back from D.C., and he said we had a problem. Oh, what do you mean a problem? And then the plane got super quiet, and we landed, like, not on that airstrip, like some other airstrip, just in case.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we landed at a weird airport or a weird runway, and it was not in case something happened, right? They don't want to fire close to the airport, to the hangar. So, yeah, I'd like that one. I remember that. It was very, very quiet on the plane.
Wow.
Just nobody was
talking.
I mean,
knock on wood, I'd never have.
And it was just super quiet. And he goes, you know, we're going to be rerouted. And you know, people are just like, and it was late. It was night. But, yeah, I was glad when we landed on that one. I was like,
Scariest thing I ever had was flying with Larry McCarron one day.
That'd be scary.
And we were flying to, I think it was Minneapolis. And it was so foggy that you couldn't see the runway. I'm like, we cool, Larry? Yeah. And I just sat there, and I just kept looking at fog and looking at fog and looking at fog. And then all of a sudden, there's the runway.
Yeah.
And you're like right above it. Yeah, and we landed. Right. That was my most white knuckle type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had a couple bumpy rides in my life. But fog is something, I don't know if we've had a lot of fog lately, but I was at the Detroit airport for 3 days, fogged in. 3 days. That's a long time.
I was stranded in Detroit for 3 days myself.
And you're just like, oh my God, are we ever going to get out of here?
I can tell you exactly when it was because the whole team, I was with the GB basketball team, and then they got a flight out the next day, but there wasn't enough room for me, so I had to wait for another day or two. But anyway, I can remember exactly when it was because I was supposed to go to the Packer-Atlanta Falcons playoff game that night. And that's the night when people say the whole mystique of the frozen tundra in the playoffs kind of evaporated. Michael Vick just tore the Packers up. I swear it's the greatest game Michael Vick ever played. And it was a real cold night in Green Bay. It was me and Coach Kowalczyk and Coach Dale Race sitting and watching that game in Detroit in a bar. But 3 days I was stranded in Detroit. Yeah. Why does Detroit get such bad weather?
I don't know why, but it was so... Well, that airport's had a lot of issues. As a matter of fact, they've changed some management there. Remember when people sat on the tarmac? Wasn't that the airport where they sat on the tarmac for 7 hours?
Might have been.
People are just like they say, if you take the emergency seat down, you're going to get arrested. Well, I don't care. I'm getting out of here.
Really? Yeah. I would have a hard time sitting that long. If I was like a middle seat.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd have a hard time sitting in first class. No way am I going
to. I actually had to take a deep breath just now, and I'm not thinking about that, about being wedged in for that long. Did you see that thing? What's the word? Maudlin?
Maudlin.
But there's this documentary out about this kid. I was just reading about it on the internet. And this is a dumb thing to do. He's a cave explorer, and he went out by himself. Got wedged, I think in Utah, got wedged head down going through this little crevice. But he was like live texting. I'm stuck. Here's where I am.
Really?
Yeah. And he was like, rescuers got to him and they couldn't get him out. They could not get him out. He was so wedged in. Rescuers couldn't get him out.
Wow.
Yeah. So the parents, I don't know if it was on their property, the parents like sealed off the mountain because they couldn't even get the body out. But can you imagine? He was like 40 hours stuck upside down.
Were the rescuers there when he was alive?
Yes.
No excuse.
They couldn't get him out.
Nah, come on.
They could not get him out.
Sawzalls, they got no.
But it was this mountain. It was all these huge rocks.
I get it.
And they couldn't get him out because his leg was so wedged in something. Yes.
Amputate the leg.
Got a text here from Brian. Did missing the Michael Vick game always dog you? Really, oh, Brian?
Funny.
Really, Brian, huh?
That's funny.
Little dog fighting humor to start off our day, huh,
there you
Brian?
Go. There you go.
Wow. Is that what you officials do? You blow off steam? A little dog fighting in the backyard, Brian?
You know who I think should have made money? Speaking of that cave thing, remember when those kids were in that cave for what?
Yeah.
How many days in there?
Indonesia?
Yeah.
Or the Philippines?
I would have got out. I'd have been on a speaking circuit.
I would have
leveraged that. I would have been like a...
You know what you would have been like? You want me to tell you who you would have been?
What?
Sully.
Oh, yeah, there'd be a movie about you.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be Sully.
Sully's pretty modest, though.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You would turn down a gig.
But nobody took the spotlight on that. They're like, you know.
I thought they were going to make a movie on that. Well, didn't one of the big name billionaires rescue them somehow?
No, no. That's why I was talking about that thing. Elon Musk was going to do something.
Okay.
He didn't do it. It was a diver that found him.
Okay. But you're right. You never heard much about that.
I'm telling you what. That would have been front page news.
No, there was.
Oh, the guy's in town. He's in Green Bay.
There was a movie made about the Chilean miners that were trapped for months or whatever. And the thing is, they did show a little bit of it, I think, in the movie. But one of the big things was some of the guys were a little reluctant to come out after a time because they knew their mistresses were going to be there and their wives.
That's right.
And the mistresses didn't know they had a wife, and the wife didn't know they had mistresses. And they're like nine guys that had that. It's like, no, you go first. No. If you see my wife, I'll be up later. I still got some stuff to finish up down here. I'll come up later.
Tell her to run and get me something.
Tell her to run home. I'll meet her at home. Not a problem. No, you guys go ahead. Oh,
wow, yeah.
No, I'm good. Leave me a sandwich. I'm good.
But you know, that's we're running out of time.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool how they set up their own little government. They even had a jail in there. I mean, it's just pretty cool how they, like, look, we have to do this.
I agree.
Survive. So,
I agree. All right.
I would have ran for office.
Hey, you would have been. You would have been class president.
Then there would have been a coup.
We got to set up a quick break. We come back. It is our veteran spotlight with Vietnam Marine veteran Rich Carkey. Stay tuned. Ask her when daddy's coming home.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. The memo to stop all federal funding to states may have been rescinded, but the governors are not standing down. Melissa Kay reports.
Governor Tony Evers released a statement Wednesday afternoon addressing the Trump administration's continued efforts to withhold Wisconsin's already approved federal funds. While the Trump administration announced they are rescinding the memo issued on Monday, they are continuing to move forward with implementing the policy. Governor Evers stated, quote, "If Wisconsin's federal funding continues to be threatened, delayed, and obstructed, make no mistake, I will continue using every power available to me to fight against those efforts to ensure Wisconsin's kids, families, law enforcement, veterans, seniors, and so many others can continue to access the resources, services, and programs they depend on." End quote. The governor urges Washington to abandon this failed policy and focus on priorities that will actually help Wisconsinites. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
A 34-year-old Green Bay man was arrested Wednesday in connection to a stabbing that is being investigated as a homicide. As we reported yesterday afternoon, Green Bay police say a 60-year-old Green Bay man was killed in the 1500 block of Capitol Drive Tuesday night. Police located a person of interest Wednesday afternoon walking around West Mason and 12th Avenue and took him into custody. The name of the victim is being withheld for now. A power outage that affected about 245 We Energy's customers Tuesday morning caused the Appleton City Hall starting at about 11:30 and for the rest of the day. All Appleton City services from the phone lines to the finance window were closed. We Energy's outage map said the problem was caused by an underground cable. Power was restored late afternoon. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a Thursday morning, downtown Green Bay, downtown Oshkosh, downtown Appleton. And, of course, the Civic Media app along with 1590 AM and 1100 AM. Time for our veteran salute brought to you by the Olson Legal Group, Purple Heart. Iraq veteran, Mr. Olson, just a great guy. Great to have him aboard for this. And now, very proud and honored to have a good friend of mine and one of my most esteemed Vietnam veterans joining us. And Rich, I was told, I got to be honest with you, I was told by a good friend of ours, Chuck Wellens, okay?
Right.
To be, you being a fellow Marine like him, to talk slow and not use any really big words.
Or bad words. Or bad words.
Yeah. Yeah. So just
all Marines, you know, what are you going to do?
Right. What are you going to do? Hey, Rich, welcome aboard. It's so great to talk to you. First of all, we want to thank you. I know it sounds cheesy, but you went about 50 years without anybody saying thank you for your service in the United States Marines and in Vietnam. So we just want to reiterate that, buddy. Thank you for your service and what you did in Vietnam.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you guys for doing what you do for veterans.
It's our pleasure, buddy. One thing I, you know, so many of the veterans I talked to, and like two guys I'm working on their story right now, you know, they were drafted and got thrown in and whatever, weren't really mentally prepared for what they faced. You were the opposite. You had it in your mind. You wanted to join the Marines. And if you got sent to Vietnam, you were fine with it. You went in with a different mindset than a lot of people in that area, 67, 68, that era. Right, Rich?
Right. Yeah. I always, as I was younger, I always thought that I'd be in the service. I didn't know I was going to be a Marine, but I thought about the Marines, and that's where I ended up.
Was your dad in the Marines? You got some family lineage?
No, no. I was the only one in my family.
I'm interested in that. You were a kid. You're going to be in the service. And, like, we've had other people on here, and some of them wanted to go, some didn't. Some that wanted to go, I'm always interested in what made you attracted to the service? Movies, girls, what?
He is big into girls. He was.
Yeah. How lucky.
Damn right.
Right, John?
Yeah. Rich married a 10.
Right.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was only a 5. I don't understand it.
I know, right? On a good day, you're a 5.
Marry up.
In your dress blues, you're a 7.
Yeah, right.
But you knew you were going to go to Vietnam, Rich, and you were okay with that.
Right. Well, you know, when I joined the Marine Corps, that was back in 68, so I was pretty proud of that. But I didn't want to be on a boat, so that's one reason why I joined the Marine Corps. Then I found out that they're on the boat. I'm like, oh, no.
That's funny.
So, I lucked out in that sense because I didn't want to be on no boat.
You know, it's amazing, though, Rich, and all the guys I've interviewed, you know, several hundred of them, I've never met one, maybe in World War II this happened, or Korea, but I never met one in Vietnam that literally was flown right into a battle, where your first experience in Vietnam was being flown into a battle. And that happened to you on your very first day, didn't it?
Right. They were getting ambushed, and I flew right in there and got dropped off and got met up with my fire team, and that's where I stayed till I got wounded. And the funny thing about that is that I never even remember when I got wounded. It was late in November.
Can you explain that, Rich? What happened to you when you got wounded? I mean, obviously I know, but go ahead and tell that story if you don't mind.
We were out on a patrol, platoon-sized patrol, actually. And I was, at that time, I was the squad leader. My friend had just got wounded the day before. There was quite a few that got wounded the day before. And I took over the squad, which I really didn't want to because I walked point the whole time I was there. But I decided that, I'll do the squad thing. And I was telling our fire teams, which would be on our right and our left, as our patrol went, I was telling them what to do and the hooches and stuff to check them and if there was nobody in them to frag them and things like that. And I was going along and all, I felt a tug and I turned around to tell my partner, I thought I tripped, and that's all the words I got out. And the next thing you know, I'm in the air and wow. My M16 flying out in front of me on the right side, and I can still see it today. And did a little turn in the air and hit the ground, and that's where I laid till the corpsman came up there.
So you hit a booby trap, obviously.
Yeah.
How did you survive that, Rich? Not many guys. And I'm not kidding this when I say not many guys walk away from that, and you didn't in that, but a lot of guys lose their legs to that exact same type of booby trap. How did you, I mean, we've played fast pitch softball together. How did you survive something like that?
I guess it was God's will, because I don't know. I know I got hit everywhere except in my head. So I just don't know. Lucky, I think my M16 protected my arm from getting blown off. Because actually, you know, it was out in front of me in the air. So, yeah, it probably saved my arm.
Wow. That is unbelievable trauma. Do you have, you don't have to tell me if you don't want to, but do you think about it a lot? Do you have bad dreams about it? I mean, that is like.
Can we talk about that, Rich, huh?
Yeah. It's still there.
Yeah.
It'll never go away. You know, we're getting older. We're probably not. Our minds aren't sharp, but every day something comes up that reminds you of war and getting hurt. And you never really, at the time when you get wounded, you don't really deal with the trauma. It's just everything is fast. There's no time. There's no time to feel sorry for yourself. There's no time. When somebody dies next to you or in your arms, there's no time to feel sorry for them. That's all gone. Later in your life, then you start thinking about, man, you know, when somebody dies now, you grieve and everybody's, the sorrow's there. But then there was no sorrow. It was just put them on the chopper and send them home, you know.
Well, Todd Corrector, if you don't mind, I mean, you said something about that, and a lot of people say this, you know, the phrase, somebody died in their arms, but you literally had that happen with that young kid, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, we were on a company patrol that night, and we were going down a dike, and we made a turn, and like a little turn in the dike, and the next thing I know, there was a shot fired from, I don't know exactly where. But the kid in front of me dropped right into the rice paddy, and I jumped down there with him, and I could tell that he was gasping for air. I don't want to get graphic, but I got a hold of him, and we tried to do a trach on him, but he didn't make it. See, he died in my arms. Yeah, it's very sad. And I think now, you know, it's a poor parent. They have no clue, you know, their kid, you know. Very sad.
And you guys were, I mean, you guys were in a lot of contact, Rich, and you got a high medal. I mean, you got a V for valor, a bronze medal with a V for valor. They don't hand those out for anything. But the amazing thing, and I've talked to other vets that have been, you know, decorated, and they read the citation, they're like, who are you writing about? I don't recognize anything in this report. But when you're in the heat of the battle, that's the way it is, huh, Rich?
Yeah, it's. I just found out recently that in that particular instance that my sergeant was shot dead right by me, and we dragged him back over the dike. And behind me, I didn't realize it, that five other guys were wounded at the same time. And of course, you know, that day, that helicopter was shot down in front of us, and That was quite a day, but there's more to that story too. But I don't really go there.
Yeah.
I mean,
Well, Rich, you know, like Johnny said, you know, it's taken this country 50 years to come around. But have you been out to D.C. to look at that memorial for you?
No, I haven't done that trip, and everybody asked me why. I was committed to taking care of my wife for a long time. She was sick, so I didn't really. That wasn't important to me. Now I'm getting older. I have a friend of mine who was in Vietnam with me, Terry Quick. He wants me to hook up with him this summer and go and see all them sites.
You should do that. It's quite an honor, and it's for you, it's different than the rest of us. And you see your name or the names of people that you may know that that died in your
arms. Well, one of the guys that you went to school with, David DeLangelo, right?
Right, exactly. Sad.
Very
homeboy.
Yep, hometown Nagani boy. Killed on his way home from Vietnam.
Yeah.
Worst story ever.
His airplane collided with a
Chinook
helicopter.
Yeah. On the way home.
Right.
Yep.
I think right in Vietnam.
Hey, Rich, another thing, though, that I think is so heartbreaking, I really mean this. So you get wounded badly. Although I just tell the funny, and I'm going to tell the story because I don't have confidence that you wouldn't swear. I'm just being honest. I know you. So they get him on the chopper, the medevac, okay, Rich?
Oh,
and
yeah,
he's bleeding all over, and they thought this was it. That's the last time. And they're like, buddy, hang in there, brother. We love you. Hang in there, man. God bless you, Rich. Hang in there, buddy. And all of a sudden, he pops up. Just they thought he's like dead. He pops up and goes, hey, Doc, can I have another shot of that bleep? The morphine.
That wasn't the words that you were talking.
No, I bet not. Wow.
I didn't tell you the whole story when I was laying on the ground and the chopper was flying overhead, and my lieutenant was telling me that I was bitching at him saying, hey, get that damn thing down here. I'm bleeding to death, you know? And he said, just relax, older. Well, that's not the words I used on him.
Wow.
Yeah, so I got him squared away.
I'll bet you did. Well, I liked your buddy Terry when I interviewed him. And he says, you know, they always say a good Marine, one thing a good Marine, I'm getting this wrong, Rich, but it's quoted in the book. Somebody, a good Marine really, can I use the word B-I-T-C-H? A good Marine bitches about everything. From the moment Rich Carkey touched the ground of Vietnam, I knew he was going to be a good Marine because he bitched about everything that was going on.
Funny.
Yeah, that's Terry already.
Hey, Rich.
Oh, yeah.
We got to set it to a quick break. Can you stick around for 1 minute? I wanted to, when we come back, I want to talk about you being at the hospital in Chicago, at Great Lakes, and having to, you had to get out of there, and you're still completely wounded. And you standing out there in the bitter cold trying to hitchhike in your Marine uniform in 1969 outside of Chicago. I want to tell that. I want you to tell that story when we come back, okay?
All right. Awesome.
Thank you, buddy. Rich Carkey, our veteran salute, brought to you by Olson Legal Group. Back right after this.
Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some have a mind in break. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done?
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here, 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 FM WISS in Oshkosh and Appleton with Rich Carkey for our veteran salute, brought to you by Nate Olson, Olson Legal Group, a veteran-owned business in Oshkosh and Berlin. Now, Rich, obviously you got severely wounded. You went through all the hospitals over there, made it to Great Lakes Hospital in Chicago, and you had just kind of had enough. You just needed to get away, and you wanted to get back home. Tell people what you did to try to get back home up to the UP.
No, I didn't really have much choice because at that time they sent me in front of a board, and they told me I'd have to leave the Marine Corps. So on that day, I went and got my dress greens on and my little hat, no boots, no coat, and I hitchhiked out to the highway, and I hitchhiked from Milwaukee, and this guy came by in the van. He picked me up and said, what are you doing out here, dude? People don't like you around here. And I said, I don't care. I'm going home. Well, he brought me to Milwaukee, but he wouldn't leave me on the south side of Milwaukee. So he drove me right through and dropped me off and gave me a quilt out of his van. And he told me good luck. And from that point on, I don't remember really what happened. I got to Iron Mountain. I know I went home from there, but that's all I remember.
Can you picture yourself standing out there? You probably weighed about 140 pounds after being in the hospital and everything, and out there freezing, trying to hitchhike?
Yeah. I couldn't use my right arm to hitchhike. I had to use my left arm. I slipped my thumb up. But I made it.
You made it, buddy. Okay, and I got to ask you, by the way, I got a text here. This is from one of our listeners. Endless gratitude and admiration for you, Rich. Thank you for sharing your story with us. Continued blessings. Somebody just texted that in.
Thanks, them very much. Appreciate that. But you know what, John, and you know me, Yeah. I'm really just another guy. I'm just another soldier. I'm not, you know, I just did what I think I thought was right as a kid. I believed in my country. So that's why I went in the Marine Corps, actually. I thought that was the thing to do.
How many years did it take you to kind of calm down, whatever, if in fact you are?
I don't know. I don't know if you'll ever get to that point where, you know, it's always going to be there.
Yeah.
But guys used to trigger you at times too, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. You know, even World War II veterans, they had comments to make to us. And that didn't go over good. You know, sometimes it got ugly, you know, but I was proud to be what I did. I was proud to be a Marine. I was a good soldier. I did what I was supposed to do. Right. So
actually,
I have no regret.
One of the most disappointing days was the one you just talked about. You were devastated that they told you you couldn't be in the Marines anymore. You wanted to stay there for life, right?
Right. Right. Yeah.
So
I, you know, actually what happened when I got to Chicago, it's kind of weird, but, you know, I was at the hospital and they sent my gear down to there was a brig there in Chicago, and they sent me there. They were going to make me work there, and I was escorting a prisoner up to the hospital one day, and this big dude, I told him, I said, hey, dude, if you want to go, just go. I'm not going to stop you. Well, when I got to the hospital, the doctor seen me, he said, no, no, go get your gear, you're done. So, I mean, yeah.
That
was another story.
That's a tough day for you, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So what are you doing now? Are you networking with some of your friends? I mean, some of them are getting a little bit older, but do you have an organization you go to on a monthly, weekly basis?
I used to do that with a group. A lot of those guys are dead and gone now. They're, you know, it's that time in our life. We're getting older. And I've been pretty much myself. Yeah.
You've got an incredible family, incredibly successful. His son was one of the best football players ever to come out of Nagani. I mean, he was D1 material. But your wife, well, I mean, talk about, you know, somebody, are they going straight to heaven? I mean, she could go straight to sainthood for the way she supported you in your life, wouldn't you? And you, vice versa, the way you supported her once she became sick. I mean, you guys had a real, real special relationship, didn't you, Rich?
Yeah, I was a very lucky guy. Beautiful person on the inside and outside. And just made, I think, you know, probably the reason I survived. I mean, let's be honest. She knew me inside and out, and she knew when things weren't good. But she loved me, you know. I loved her. There was times when she asked me why I wouldn't put her in a nursing home. I said, never. I said, I love you too much. I never would do that to her. So now you're getting me emotional now.
Sorry there, buddy. But I just want to point that out. I was telling Jim during a breaker, I've never seen one man treat their wife with more care, concern, and love than you did with Karen all the way through. No lie. And the thing, one thing we didn't talk about too, when and I'm not going to get into this running out of time, when Jim mentioned you ever have nightmares, Karen told me about after you would leave for work, she'd have to vacuum your pillowcase because all the hair that fell out during the night from your dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was losing my hair and not sleeping, and it was a rough go, but I got through it. I mean, I just decided I had to get out and get busy in life, and that's what I did.
And one of the other great blessings you got is he made me your catcher on your softball team.
Yeah, I know why you guys, and I know why you like to catch too, because yeah, I shouldn't even go there. I'm not going to go there.
Well, enjoy your trip to D.C. I hope you do that. That's going to be great.
Yeah, we're going to do that, Rich. I'm getting together with a bunch of your buddies, Marine buddies today, and Chuck and the whole gang, and we're going to come up there. We're just going to kidnap you one day, just so you know that.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
You got it, my brother.
That would be awesome.
Rich
I'm
Karki.
Coming down.
You better. Rich Karki, United States Marine Corps veteran. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, my brother.
Thank you, guys.
You're the
Appreciate
best.
Appreciate everything you've done for the veterans.
Love you, my man.
Love you.
Take care. We're going to set a quick break. Mine on the mayor back after this.
Looking for
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.